for the players.
I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 20 plus years in that games meeting bind. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation. Pretty sure I got that backwards.
No, that's fine. This Sweet. PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you would like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials: Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can go to patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Now, at least today, in this moment in time, Max isn't randomly standing behind me. So earlier today, I was down the shops. I got a call from my son. He's like, "Daddy, we're going to go buy Pokemon cards. You want to come?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, I want to come." Go down there where it came out, looking at the rack. Message from Max in my pocket. I'm like, "I'm just going to ignore that. I'll talk to him in a moment. I'll respond when I'm not staring at Pokemon cards." I'm not staring at Pokemon cards. I turn around. Guess who's there? Max.
Max's child.
Yeah, and Max's child. It was a lovely surprise.
Yeah, because Ellie came over and she's like, "I think I just saw Ryan and Millie." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." I'm like, "Did you see James?" She's like, "I don't think so." I'm like, "That's weird."
That would be weird. Because James is either with me or his mum. And if he's not, where is the child?
So, that was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. That's pretty cool. It is. I think we talked about this last week when you came over. It is weird for us to see each other in the wild. IRL catch-ups are a few and far between. But weirdly, one intentionally, one accidental. This is creeping up.
Now we need a break.
Yeah, we've had enough of each other. Which is handy because you're about to jump into Destiny. So you'll be gone. You'll be somewhere else for a minute. I'm sure I'll find something. Right now, I'm having a bit of fun with Elder Scrolls Online, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, how goes it? How's the things?
Yeah, things are fun. It's been a pretty chill week. This week was my last week of doing day shifts at work.
Yeah, so you've been doing split shifts for a little while.
I've been doing split shifts the last, X amount of months. But my partner starts back at work on Monday. After her maternity leave ended, which means I am now a stay-at-home dad.
Woo!
I will still work at night, but I will be stay-at-home dad during the day.
Yeah, but thankfully, your shifts have altered in such a way. You're not as if you're, you're used to getting home at 6, sleeping, pardon me, and then waking up in the middle of the afternoon. At least your roster has changed in such a way.
Yeah, so the current plan is I work midnight till 4 a.m. I'm going to try that out tonight. My wife's going to wake me up when she does kinder drop-off in the morning. So she leaves at about 8:45. So I'll sleep from 4:30 till 8:45. Get a nice solid 4 hours in.
Woo.
Woo. But I can kind of fiddle with the nature of the work that I do and where I work and how I work. I can kind of fangle with my numbers a bit. And if I need to start earlier, I can. So depending on how tonight goes, I might start a little bit earlier than midnight. Start at say 10 o'clock and finish at 2 a.m. And then get a solid 6 hours sleep in before.
It's probably the smartest way to go.
But my son's also 8 months old, so every 3 hours he has a nap for a good solid hour and a bit. Sometimes 2 hours. Today he slept for 3 hours. I'm just gonna sleep when he sleeps.
That could be fun.
I'm just gonna fucking nap all the time.
Are you concerned though the too much napping, you'll wake up in that post-snap, fugue state where nothing quite is quite happening?
Yeah, I did it this afternoon. My wife and child were sitting here at this chair playing Paw Patrol World, and I was asleep on the couch behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up, I'm like, how long have I been asleep? And my wife's like, I don't know, like an hour. I'm like, wow, I feel like shit. My neck's jacked.
I don't think we as humans are quite built, as adults, quite built for the lifestyle of an 8-month-year-old. But I do see the appeal. Sleeping, pooping, drinking.
Eating, pooping, sleeping. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's the life.
It is the one that we wish we could all lead. But yeah, I myself, my week's been pretty chill. Not too much to report, apart from standard day things. Had some wrestling this weekend. I worked two shows over two days. So Friday night and Saturday night. And also be doing Saturday night and Sunday night next week.
I'm not working Monday.
Cool. So I might have the boy, but if I don't, we can just record during the day at some point.
Well, I can't because my wife will be working during the day.
What? Public holiday?
Yeah, they don't care.
Lame. Well, then we'll do it. The Monday so night it is.
Or we can do it late Sunday. You get home, you'd be like absolutely wrecked from wrestling and be like, let's do it.
By the time I drive back from Melbourne, it'd be like, what, midnight? That could work. It'd be a laugh.
I'll try to not be so noisy that I wake the children up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
We'll work something out.
Nah, we'll figure it out.
Whether it's Friday night or whether it's Monday night, whatever it is.
Maybe late, maybe early. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so those playing at home. But that should be fun because, did two shows this weekend, did a doubleheader here in Geelong, which is lovely. Didn't have to go anywhere. It was incredible. And then next week I've got two shows on Saturday possibly and then a show on the Sunday. So it seems to happen in the June, the middle of the year. Like everyone kind of spreads their stuff out throughout the year. But right now everyone's like, well, there's a bunch of shows. So when you work for multiple different companies, it smashes all together pretty quick, which is a doozy. But it is still how I like to spend my days. But Max, you yourself, you like to spend your days playing some games. So what have you been playing this week?
I'll start with what I started playing last night. I've been playing Cuphead.
Oh, no. Why have you joined the Cuphead side of life?
So I never got around to finishing Cuphead, so I'm now on the third island of Cuphead.
Yep.
I've refound my weapon of choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I used the old 3-pronged finger blast.
Oh, the shotgun? Essentially the shotgun?
Essentially the shotgun, yep. Game is fun. Tedious at times, but it's all fairly straightforward. It's just that essentially boss rush stuff. You've been hearing Ryan talk about it for months because his son was obsessed with it for a while. So I dove back in because I've been in a little bit of a, I want something new to play. I know that the final shape is on the horizon. I have been playing Destiny 2. I've been wrapping up the last of the stuff that I need to get done before final shape. So last night I did 3 of the exotic quest missions and got catalyst for all my guns that I was missing and just kind of tidying up the backlog of quests and stuff that I hadn't finished. The plan is for those who are interested and want to come and hang out, one of my friends, Noodle, who I've been playing Destiny with for the entirety of the game span of Destiny. We're going to stream our playthrough of the final shape starting Wednesday night at, we're hoping, 8 p.m., depending on my children. And we'll have kind of like our reactions to, you know, the final shape as a whole as we're playing through it. And we're going to have a bit of a chat of like the retrospective that is 10 years of Destiny playing with the same crew the whole way through. So for those who are interested in checking that out, come and check it out. It'll be on the pop this year.
This channel that you're listening to right now on Twitch, and then we'll move the VOD across to YouTube. But yeah, big thank you to Team over at Double Jump for providing us the review code for the final shape. Went straight into Max, and as you like, it's lovely that you yourself have been able, like you're going to be able to share this big part of like your 10 years. Cause I went, when the code came through, it was like, well, you know, do you want to stream something? Do you want to like do some gameplay just to sort of add? And then you're like, well, what if I stream with Noodle, as you just mentioned, talk about our time And that's a credible idea. Because we talk about Noodle a lot. We used to play Call of Duty together back in the day. And then it went to Destiny. I kind of flew apart from Destiny. But there's very few things that you do with someone, like for an extended period of time, like a podcast, or let alone
a live service game
for 10 years. So very excited to see what Max has to say. We'll no doubt share it, all the links on the social medias. If you want to do come check out, if you do wish to come and check out Max's first taste of the final DLC, the final expansion for Destiny 2, should be exciting times.
Yeah, I'm super keen.
Anything else been gracing your screen?
I took a break from Diablo this week.
Yeah.
Exciting. But other than that, it's kind of just the usual the usual culprits. More Magic Arena. I touched a little bit more on Ghost of Tsushima's Director's Cut on PC.
Mm-hmm.
The game's still incredible. It looks fantastic on PC. It's still running great. It's weird. I'm playing it with an Xbox controller at the moment.
Oh, that's three layers of weird.
But yeah, it's still fantastic. I'm not very far through. I'll put in like maybe 3 or 4 hours. I've kind of been all over the place. I played a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Mm.
I re-downloaded Elden Ring.
Yeah, obviously Erdtree's right around the corner too.
Yeah, on the Pop C account, knowing that Shadows of the Erdtree is dropping in about three and a bit weeks. I've been in and out of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
I'm
literally just bouncing all over the place. It's horrendous.
Like, do you think it's just because you're killing time until Destiny, or is it nothing is grabbing you?
Nothing's grabbing me at the moment, but I am also killing time for Destiny.
Pardon me, because I am very much in that space of killing time, and I don't quite know why. At the moment, there's no major game that is like really grabbing me, or something that is like that I'm seeking out, whether it be for a content purpose, like, you know, what we do here on the show, talking about it. Oh, excuse me. Hence why I fell into, you know, Fallout 76 for a little while. So I think it was just a game that kind of, it was simple, it was chewable, it was like good popcorn, good candy, just able to experience it, play through it, feel like I'm achieving something while actually not really achieving anything. I'm very burpy, apparently. So, in no shock, I have shifted away from Fallout 76. So, I got an email this week an email being like, yo, pardon me, the new DLC for Elder Scrolls Online drops on June 3rd. Who's keen to check it out? And I was like, oh, I've tried a couple times. And previously you yourself had tried the DLC of the last expansion, which I forget what it was called.
I'll pull it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I own all of the DLCs for that game.
Yeah, so whichever it was, Max was checked out the previous one. And I was like, oh, maybe this is it. Because there's been a number of times where, for whatever reason, The Elder Scrolls Online has tickled my interest. It's something about it, because it's fantasy, but it's a world that I know, but I don't know so well that it's like a, you know, not fun experience.
It was Necrom.
Necrom, that's right. Necrom was awesome. So you're looking over at that and go, okay, cool. You know, it's ticking a couple of different boxes, and it's also got, you know, big universe that I'd be excited to check out.
Oh, excuse me.
So after talking to a good friend, Craig's like, yeah, let's transition to this, because we'll be enjoying playing Fallout 76 a lot together. However, its lack of ability to really play together is kind of making it difficult to do missions, go explore. It doesn't quite support the same way in the way that we were wanting. So by switching to a more standard MMO, we're on the assumption that we will get that shared experience that we're feeling and have a bit of fun. And it may also create an opportunity for Phoebe, my partner, to join us as well, because she's more open to probably fantasy style games than like a first-person shooter in Fallout. So hopefully that goes well, knowing that Elder Scrolls Online goes on as part of PS Plus this month. If it does have cross-play, that would be incredible. Wait and see whether it does or does not. But outside of that, not really been playing too much. So I think I mentioned it last week. I did jump back into Two Point Hospital out of nowhere because I thought maybe that would tickle my brain. So I'd done a couple of the first schools in that, and I was like, yeah, it was pretty fun. I enjoyed that. Yeah, and then whatever, I didn't stick to it. Outside of that, not much. My usual dailies in wrestling. I'm making so many noises that aren't talking right now. Jesus Christ. But yeah, I think I am definitely in that position of just trying to find whatever that is. Because even with a state of play, even with the state of play right around the corner, that it's just passed, which does tell us what is coming, presumably right around the corner. It is, I'm still in the same position of, like in the immediate future, there's nothing that makes me as excited. I want to sit down and properly play. But aside from that, I had returned to Harry Potter, to Hogwarts Legacy, as my son has, you know, smashed it last time he was here. So knowing that he's going to catch up to me at some point and he'll have questions about the game, I'm like, well, I don't want to just rely on, you know, YouTube searches or whatever. So I'm playing it myself, just trying to get that mount, and I just clear the world. And I think maybe the world clearing, you know, the Ubisoftification max of Hogwarts Legacy may work to its advantage for me. And I can just say, oh, I'll go do some Merlin trials. Oh, I'll go do this. I'll go do that. So once again, I feel like I'm achieving something while actually really not achieving anything. Maybe Harry Potter could fill that gap. Potentially. Not sure. But anyway, let's get to this section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. We did mention that there was that state of play. I did watch it live. I streamed it here on the Twitch channel. VOD's up on the YouTubes. But Max, you were busy sleeping after your day of work. So let's get into it, breaking it down bit by bit. And we'll go game by game. Well, that's what we think.
So this is clearly not in order. I doubt very much it's in order.
It is not.
But we'll kick things off with Concord. Concord is a hero shooter akin to that of Overwatch, launching in August of this year with the beta coming out in July. This was very much, like I just said, hero shooter, showed off some gameplay. Not for me. I think I'm done with shooters.
You think you're done with shooters?
I'm done with shooters. And remember I said that in about 5 minutes' time when we talk about the other shooter game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just, depending on who I know that's going to be playing it, I think I'm done with competitive shooter games. I don't like having to try so hard when I play video games anymore.
Yeah, like the achievement isn't beating other people.
Yeah.
In the same way that you still love your Soulsborne title, so like it's more of a challenge of beating yourself and or the game.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. Correct. No, I get that. Yeah. See, I looked at Concord, and so knowing that we had, what, 35-ish minutes to go through with this presentation, we're like, okay, each game's probably going to get about 2 minutes after what they said, there's about 14 games, 12 to 14, whatever it was. Easy. Yeah. All right, cool. We can get it done in half an hour. And then they proceed to spend an unreasonable amount of time on Concord. Now, granted, it is a first-party release from Firewalk. It is, yeah, as you said, it's coming later in the year. With that beta that, you know, once again, those demo betas that aren't really betas.
It should be literally a server stress test for them, and there should be no excuse for them to launch to a shitty server.
Yeah, but when it's less than a month out, it's nothing. So watching this, it opened with this very, very visually impressive cutscene, right? This in-game cinematic. Of these characters, of this green dude, like a woman, and a giant hairy dude. And it felt, it had this energy of like Star Wars, but kind of the Disney Star Wars then sprinkled with Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm like, okay, it's feeling like a single-player game, because last time we saw Concord, we saw a spaceship with a burger, and like it looked fantastic, but apart from the revealing of the logo, there was nothing to indicate what it was. And then the trailer that we saw here, we go, oh, okay, it's a single-player. It's PlayStation, what they're known for. It's over-the-shoulder third-person action adventures. And it's a great look. If it looks like this, it's going to be incredible. It's a 5x5 arena shooter. Like, what an absolute misleading, but like only if you didn't know. It's difficult because they are clearly taking a rip at Overwatch and supporting it in a way that Overwatch did with their little videos across YouTube, etc. However, for whatever reason, it feels way more disingenuous. I think because Overwatch itself was relatively unique, where this feels like Overwatch while feeling like Star Wars, while feeling like Guardians of the Galaxy, like it doesn't feel wholly unique. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Sure.
I think so. I think I'm following where you come.
All right, well, then let's talk it out. Where do you... How are you reading my thinking? How am I thinking your thinking?
I don't know. I don't know if disingenuous is the word I would use. I think it's one of those things where they've looked at it and gone, Overwatch 1 was brilliant. Mm. Like, it really was. And there was a lot of love for it, and it had staying power. And then number 2 dropped, and people were a bit disappointed because they're like, hey, you said we're going to get PvE, we're not going to get PvE, things cost too much, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, maybe we can jump in on this, and if we nail it, we can get that good graces that Overwatch 1 had. And they're kind of making it flashy and grabby and pop culture heavy to try and get those initial views on it before it launches, maybe.
Well, yeah, and alongside that, they mentioned,
which I guess is technically pretty fucking ingenuous, isn't it?
Yeah, and like as I say, and then they're doing something a little bit different by allegedly creating weekly cinematics that align with your group or your players, etc., which is a really cool idea in principle. But my question is, how long do they plan on delivering that? Because that's a lot of work for a weekly setup, especially if it has to look as good as that original cinematic we saw, or even if it's in-game, it's easy to do something in-game, but from a content perspective, how can you do 52 of them? How can you do, 3 years of them? Etc. But I'm sure we may be lucky enough to receive a code later down the line in August, but we'll certainly be checking out the beta in July, just simply out of straight up intrigue, I guess.
So I'll skip further down my list. We'll talk about the other hero shooter that was shown off, and that's Marvel Rivals. Thought only coming to PC, is now coming to PS5 as well, with a beta at some point this year. And for those playing on PlayStation 5, you will get an exclusive Spider-Man costume for those of you who are playing on console. I think you get the Scarlet Spider.
Yeah, I think it looked like Scarlet Spider from memory. this is interesting.
I'll play.
Yeah,
this one looks great.
So it's one of those things where, similar to Concord, in principle, I'm like, oh, this looks intriguing. And then I see it and I go, yeah, nah, it's not for me. Mostly because it's not my game that I would like to play. However, it is interesting and quite bizarre, their willingness to show two very similar titles in the same showcase. Now, granted, one has a largest pulling power in Marvel Rivals. So why would you put it up against your one is bizarre to me.
Who knows?
There was a shrug from Max from those in the audio listeners.
Who knows?
Like, would you have put two of the same genre? Like in terms of like explicit genre like that?
I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, how much did they get paid by Disney to have it there?
Well, obviously, knowing they've got arrangements with the likes of, you know, Marvel, Spider-Man, etc., there is a working relationship there, so...
And it could have just been the fact that... Because, like I said, up until now, we thought it was a PC-only game. If it's just coming to... if it's only coming to PS5 for a console, it needs to be shown at a PS5. It needs to be shown at a Sony showcase.
Yeah.
And if this is the only showcase they're going to have between now and the launch of that game, they don't really have a choice but to throw it in here.
That's absolutely true. So with PlayStation's, you know, low frequency of digital presentations, it's either now or October, maybe. And in theory, I believe it's coming out before then, but. Or at least this beta that they're wanting to discuss, it does make it difficult to allocate that. But why not do it at Summer Game Fest, which is what, 2 weeks away? Not even.
Yeah, about a week and a half.
Yeah. So why would you want to do it then? There's a way larger audience there than there is here.
I guarantee you, it'll still be at Summer Game
Fest. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Park put in the chat that beta for consoles is in July, so it's probably going to have a showing at Xbox Showcase at Summer Games Fest.
Yeah, because I presume it's multi. There's no way they would not put it on Xbox.
Next up, we have Dynasty Warriors Origins. Had an announced trailer coming in 2025. From memory, Dynasty Warriors 9 was the last one, and that was fairly poorly received.
Mm-hmm.
This one looks great. I love Dynasty Warrior games. They're kind of that one versus the many hack and slash style gameplay. So hopefully this one kind of resonates with its fan base a little bit more than the last one.
Yeah, so Musos most certainly aren't in my thing. However, from looking into this a little bit, apparently the plan with this is because there's been so many Dynasty Warriors that this one is kind of a soft reboot, like a soft reset.
Well, it did look very much like you would play as the same person throughout, as opposed to chopping and changing.
Which is different to what Dynasty Warriors normally does?
I believe so.
Yeah. Interesting.
So that should be cool. Next up, we had Monster Hunter Wilds, which got a gameplay trailer. It definitely has a more realistic art style than that of Monster Hunter World, and it looks to be an open world title, as opposed to the area-based stuff that you got in Monster Hunter World. Now, that hasn't been confirmed. That's kind of just what I interpreted from the trailer itself. But that game looks sweet. I had a blast with Monster Hunter World. I recently re-downloaded it to play Iceborne. Capcom has been on a roll for what feels like forever.
Yeah.
And I feel that this is just another home run for them.
It certainly has the potential to be so. With Monster Hunter Worlds being massive, then Monster Hunter Rise, I think it was, that came out on Switch, then it came to PS4. Like, that was also a big year as well. This being what I would assume is the major sequel to Worlds, I can only assume that the excitement for this is massive. I tried to play Worlds. I think you and I played it a little bit, and for whatever reason, it just didn't resonate with me. Which is bizarre, because I talked about this in the live reacts. What was that? If it was if there was that Horizon Monster Hunter-y sort of multiplayer game, that would tickle my fancy. Like, is it just because of the skin of the world intrigues me, whether Monster Hunter does not?
Perhaps.
Because. Well, yeah, and I guess this even goes down to, like, MMOs, right? I've tried to play MMOs in the past, did smash DC Universe Online purely because of I love DC Comics, and then it's the same reason that I'm open to Elder Scrolls right now compared to, say, World of Warcraft, which never clicked with me because I didn't care about the world.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean the other thing is, you know, some MMOs are pay-to-play monthly, whereas Elder Scrolls is a buy once, play forever.
Yes, which is also a big advantage.
Yeah. Next up, we had Infinity Nikki, which is effectively an open world anime dress up game that had Betson's name all over it. The trailer show The trailer showcased how you'll use the power of photography and fashion to navigate a cutesy fantasy world named Mirrorland, with a beta coming this year.
Look, you make that joke, and if it wasn't skinned as the way it was, like if it wasn't all cutesy anime, oh my god, like level of voices, I probably would play it. But yeah, the second the girl comes out in that what's that style, like those dresses, etc., there's a name for it, like
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Essentially, it means petite in Japanese.
I know.
Lolita, is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go with that. That I'm like, okay, cool. It's not for me. It's intriguing. The idea of going, taking photos, building shit. There's farming elements in there. I'm like, okay, all right. I can see the appeal, but I ain't gonna play it. But I can certainly see the appeal.
Next up, we have God of War Ragnarok coming to PC, coming the 19th of September with a PlayStation Network requirement.
Not an issue. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yes, I'm definitely keen as hell for this game. Because obviously, you know, we made the dealio when we heard the rumors of Ragnarok. I was like, dibs. And you're like, yeah, no worries. And I'd be keen as shit to play that again here on my PC. It's got all the supports. It's got the ultra wides. It's got like all the DLSS, whatever. I don't know what it means, but apparently it's good. Key to play.
Next up was Ballad of Antara. Big old Max game. Had all those Soulsborne feels, big giant monsters, epic battles. My only concern is, according to the PlayStation blog, it is a big old free to play role playing game.
Rough.
How is it free to play? Is it free to play because you get a microtransaction and out of the ass? Like, what's the catch? Are they just going to sell? Is it going to be like episodic end game where you buy in each time? Like, I'm interested. It's coming 2025, so it's still a fair while.
Yeah, away. There's enough time for you to ask your questions, you know.
But it does look good. Next up, we have star of the show, Astrobot. Big old gameplay trailer, and the little blurb that came along with it was Team Asobi's platformer will feature more than 80 levels across 6 galaxies, which you'll explore in order to find Astro's crewmates. Our hero will be able to toy with 15 new abilities as he goes through the story, all bringing the developer's trademark imagination to gameplay once more, coming to PS5 on the 6th of September.
Oh, hells yes, Max. Hell yes. So, I adored Astrobot. Not just for its incredible gameplay and its fun, cutesy character, but also their cool little dioramas that you get out of their gacha game. But the thing that I love about this game the most is its respect for PlayStation as a legacy, as a history, as a brand. Like, you know, all the collectibles are great little PlayStation trinkets, you know, and then it has such a universal appeal as well. So I was talking about it. Oh, that's right. Sorry. I sent a picture of Kratos from the trailer to my partner, being like, bam. And she's like, what the fuck is this? It's adorable. I'm like, this is Astrobot. He's dressed up as Kratos, and it's cool. She goes, what's Astrobot? He's like, give me more information. So I showed her the trailer for the new one. She's like, this is mad. And then I'm pointing out, I'm being a giant dork about it. I'm like, there's this one, and there's that thing, and there's that thing. And there's this is in that when they did that big space shot of the all the little various ships that is cool accessories. I said, look, this is a sequel to this game. It's called Astrobot Rescue Mission. It came with the PS5. Sorry, Rescue Mission? No, the VR one. One of the two.
Astro's
Playroom. Playroom is the one. And I'm like, yeah, it was built to sort of test out the PS5. Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, that sounds intriguing. So I reinstalled it today, and I gave it for a little while. And I was in this room setting up my Elder Scrolls character, but I could hear her having fun in the other room. I'm hearing all, like, you know, like the awesome soundtrack of Astrobot. And she's like, oh, come check this out. So I go in and she's showing me whatever the accessory that she collected. She's like, what's this? I'm like, oh, it's the PS Move Sharpshooter. He's, oh, cool. And I'm like, all right, run. And she's doing, she did the cooling levels and then the SSD levels. You know, it's all fantastic. And I know you yourself enjoyed that game enough to try, you know, get speed running records on it.
Hopefully there's speed run levels on the new one.
Yeah, because that was the one thing. Speaking of this new one, though, looking at the trailer, when they first came up with the Team Asobi logo, like, my fear was that we would lose a lot of that PlayStation iconography as they try to transition him to a more general mascot, because what more could they do with what they've already done unless they use those same accessories again, which is what they are doing. But, you know, not, there's been no major, like, a major number of, you know, accessories, little trinkets that have released since the PS5's launch.
See, my concern was they mentioned that it was going to be a full price release. I'm like, yeah. I don't know if an Astrobot game is worth $125 here in Australia.
Yes, that's very good. That's a very big problem.
That's a honker of a price for what was essentially a tech demo. Now, obviously, this, as I mentioned before, 80 levels, 6 galaxies. That's a substantial amount of...
That is like a fourfold improvement.
But are the levels like 2 minutes long, or are they like 20 minutes long? Like,
yeah.
At some point, it's like, you know, will you get that?
Oh, here we go. And in the chat, Reverend Park jumps in, the fact checker that they are, posted an article in the Discord, which I think the link invite's still available, but it is available on the bottom. That says Astrobot will have 150 PlayStation-centric characters and no micros. So there's 150 little references, which has me real excited, because I want some obscure shit that even I don't know. And then, which is actually not as unimpressive as you think, but I would like to find ones that go, oh, what's that? And then, you know, trigger that part of my memory. Park also adds, moreover, in quotes, the official Astrobot page on the PlayStation website reveals that fans can spend over 150 iconic VIP bots inspired by legendary characters from 30 years of PlayStation's history. An Astrobot will not feature any in-game purchases or multiplayer. Another tidbit is that players will be able to save over 300 bots. Mute asks the question, will it sell? Because they remember Sackboy had a PS5 venture aiming at a family demographic. The difference is no one wanted to... Astrobot is an old property, right? Sackboy had the potential to be the new big mascot for PlayStation. However, it didn't quite land as they kept it sort of tangential. Like, it's connected, but to the side. With Astrobot being a free game in every PS5 that is purchased... It essentially gives you... It's the same way that, you know, for many young kids, you know, their first console being Mario 64, Mario 64 came with your console, so you have an inbuilt, an ingrained love for that game, because it did come with it, right?
It does, but the better reference would have been Wii Sports, and then they...
Wii Sports is actually a better example. You are absolutely true. Yeah.
And they sold that bastard on Switch for all the monies, and everyone bought it.
Yeah.
Wii Sports is the greatest of all time.
Exactly, and that is the reason at which you go, oh, that was my game that I grew up with. I'm going to do this. They're establishing that here, and then it also supports individuals like myself with strong PlayStation legacies that will make me excited. Where Little Big Planet started that, and then deviated. You know, like, there was a lot of branding around Sackboy. Like, my partner on her shelf at home, she originally bought it for me and then went, fuck no, I'm keeping this. It was a Kratos statue about this big, but as Sackboy. So you're the angry face. She's like, he's adorable. I bought him for you, but it's not yours anymore. I'm like, okay. Well, I didn't know I was going to get it, so sweet. So yeah, that's the difference there, because obviously Astro's new, Sackboy's old. It's very difficult to revive an old mascot than just establish a new one.
Next up, we have Path of Exile 2, another game that we thought was originally going to be PC only, is coming to PlayStation 5 later in 2024. PoE 2 being the big successor for Path of Exile, obviously, and the direct competitor for Diablo 4.
And what's amazing about it, and they said throughout the trailer, couch play. Cross progression, like tick, 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 if you're wanting a shared experience. So, like, yeah, big win on their part, because it did look pretty good.
Yeah, speaking of things that also looked pretty good, Until Dawn is coming to PS5 and PC at some point in fall of 24.
So the back end of this year. So in that, like, probably around Halloween is what I'd imagine they'd be aiming for, and then allowing for room in case it gets delayed.
Until Dawn was originally fantastic. This getting the beautification remaster treatment is chef's kiss.
It is one of those things I'm looking at. I'm like, I'm looking forward to
playing it again.
Oh, yeah. So I have never played it in full. I think I played about an hour, 2 hours. So I was like, yeah, and I got distracted and sort of wandered off. So
I've got the couch set up. I'm going to do a full playthrough. I'm going to get friends over and do like each person plays one character.
Ooh. They
want to play them and do the full on.
All right. That is a great idea. Let's do it. Yeah, so like having never played it in full, I am keen. It does look good, however, it does kind of align with how I remember it. But I imagine it's one of those circumstances, if I actually saw a side by side, I'm like, Jesus, looks look better. What is intriguing me though, Max, now this game has always been a PlayStation property at its core. It is a second party exclusive, which means they own the IP, and the game was originally made by Supermassive. This port, remaster, remake is being done by Ballistic Moon. However, there is no Supermassive branding across the game at all, which is very weird. Nor does it have to be, but I'm sure there'll be in the credits, you know, originally made by Blur. But like here, nothing. Which is interesting. However, still keen to play it.
And again, for the PC version, PSN is required.
Multiplayer makes sense.
Where Winds Meet was next. This was described as an open-world action-adventure RPG heavily influenced by martial arts. Looks to be a fast-paced and tightly crafted PlayStation 5 title with no release yet. I've been seeing this game for the better part of what feels like a year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am so keen for this. It looks Soulsy. It looks more like probably like Neo or Rise of the Ronin.
Neo is definitely the energy I got from it. Yeah,
having that being set in that Asian location, it's very artistically heavy in all of those themes, but does look very, very good.
It is interesting that you do say that Neo energy, because as I'm watching the trailer, I'm like, is this a Koei Tecmo title? But then remembering that they just done Rise of Ronin, but it very much had that feel to it.
Next up, Silent Hill 2 remake. There was a trailer. I haven't watched it yet. It's the only one I haven't seen. That's releasing the 8th of October. However, you can play it on the 6th if you buy the digital deluxe, because that is the new norm.
Yeah, that's the standard.
So you're the Silent Hill 2 nerd.
Well, I'm not a nerd. I'm just more of a fan of it than you. So I grew up with the Silent Hills. I adored them very much. I remember playing Silent Hill 3 a lot more, but I did play 2 quite a bit. To me, this looks fine. Like, it doesn't look amazing, but it looks fine. I would still argue the Bloober team is the weirdest choice.
Yep.
But, you know, Konami will in the circumstance of wanting what Capcom have made with Resident Evil, but not give them money, or like not be willing to spend the money to get like a good, you know, RE2, RE3 level remake, or even RE4 level remake, really. So I'll take it as it is. I will check it out when it releases. But yeah, people are, you know, pulling apart what it is compared to the original, and I get that. But in a world where it is, you simply cannot go back and play the 2 and 3 on your PS5. You can on your Xbox because of the backwards compats. But it is locked to PS3 on PlayStation or a PS2, but no PS2 version. It is a bit bizarre. Mute in the chat does ask, personal opinion, what is the best Silent Hill? I would argue Silent Hill 1, I think, set a scene really well. However, one of the greatest features about Silent Hill 1 is the fog, right? Like, you can't, the game itself doesn't really render no further than 3 or 4 meters in front of you when you're outside. And I quite like that at a core, because it's using the limitations of the console to add the more dramatic feel to the game. Like, you know, Silent Hill is supposed to be this creepy town, and when there is a constant fog that is, you know, that you can't see a meter, you know, 3 meters ahead of you, does set a very good, you know, sense of just dread. And then when you go to 2 and 3, that is similar there, but obviously PS2, a bit more scale. However, when you then go play the PS3 Silent Hill HD redo, and part of the remastered, they removed a lot of that fog, thinking that maybe you just saw more, it would make it better. The game is actively worse if you can see everything. So probably number one, I guess, is probably the answer. But Max, you don't have an answer because you don't really play too many Silent Hills.
I've played Chain of Memories.
So not a good one.
That's one, right?
Yeah, and it's not good. Yeah, one, two, three is good. Four, I enjoyed, even though it's a bit bad. Homecoming was bum. Book of Memories was bum. There's that Chains one that you mentioned. And there's Shattered Memories. And then the one that you played, they weren't very good. There's one on Vita that was pretty asshole too. Silent Hill has not done a good job. Reverend Park, isn't there a Kingdom Hearts game also subtitled Chain of Memories? Yeah, because I'm pretty sure it's Book of Memories and Chain of Something.
I think Book of Memories is the one that I played. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Book of Memories is kind of like isometric, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the one I played. Chain of Memories is the Kingdom Hearts game that's on fucking 3DS or something.
Yeah, shortly followed by 6 by over 382 or whatever nonsense in the butt. Yeah, I'll play it because I like Silent Hill. Good lineage.
And we'll wrap things off with the two PSVR 2 titles that they announced. Behemoth.
Skydance is Behemoth.
Yeah. Our game appears to heavily lean into melee fights with various enemy types, though you'll clearly get your hands on a variety of weapons, including bows and arrows. The titular behemoths look like a force to be reckoned with, and you'll be going toe-to-toe with them in a real David vs. Goliath situation. This game is scheduled for fall of 2024 on PSVR 2. Game looks insane and terrifying.
Yeah, it looks really intriguing. So, I really like the grapple hook that allows you to, like, you know, reach at stuff pretty easily. It does look a bit scale, a good scale. But granted, it's PS5, you know, it's PSVR, so things look a little bit weird when you take it from a VR space into a flat space. Did see a lot of hitching in the trailer, though. That's not good.
Yep.
And that was the version they chose to release. Bold strategy, Cotton.
Lastly, we got Alien Rogue Incursion. Players attempt to survive in a facility overrun with xenomorphs, stepping into the unfortunate shoes of an as-yet-unnamed protagonist stranded on the inhospitable planet Peridan in late 2024.
That sounds like kind of a fuck-off, because I think having a xenomorph chase you in VR is mean. And very scary.
You mean you don't want to get, like, tail stabbed out of a vent, shit your pants in VR?
No. If I could avoid it, it would be cool. But, yeah. So that does bring us to the wrap-up, the end of the state of play. Max, obviously you've seen pretty much all of it, bar, you know.
It was just Silent Hill that was the only one that I didn't see.
How you feeling?
It was kind of... It was fine. It was fine.
Big Shep. Sup, Shep. Now I need VR just to shit myself against the Xenomorph. It's a good idea. Like, I played Resident Evil 8 and 4 in VR. It's fucking horrifying. Like, in a game, obviously in a flat screen, even if playing with my monitors, like, what, here, right, from my face, it still engulfs your vision, but it's not the same as in VR. Like,
but you can look away.
Yeah, you go like, ah, that wall's not scary. Where here you go, ah, you turn around, it's either darkness or more fucking scary things. So, like, you know, ha, sir, you're just selling it more and more. And look, for some, that would be great. For me, I nearly vomited my face out of nowhere in Resident Evil Village. It was real weird. I had this huge fight in that opening sequence against the werewolf folk. And it, once the game settled, it was like, ha. Ah. Yeah. It wasn't even anything that, like, major. It was so weird. So I can only imagine I'd get exactly that feeling playing in Alien. And then it would be front and back, and it would be a whole mess. And I don't have enough tarp to cover my lounge room.
Yeah. But again, overall, it was fine. I think Astrobot was the big winner here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think from like internet trends, this was like the most disliked set of plays they've done in like years. Everyone's still chasing that hype of 2016.
Oh, the 2016 one was brilliant.
Never happening again.
No, absolutely not. My thoughts on the state of play, Max, I believe it was aggressively mid. Like, it was good, and it was like, okay. Like, at least from where I sit, from an objective standpoint, I'm like, oh, there's enough relative spread here that it should interest, but, like, not get anyone excited, but it should interest some people, right?
But that's the thing. Like, it had none of their big tentpole players.
Because they're not ready.
Like, sure, obviously God of War played a part, but it's you're getting, the PC players are getting what we've had for a couple of years now. It's nothing new. It's just, yeah, it was fine.
But yeah, with the lack of the big hitters is kind of expected. This is the result that we would get. The idea of it being a showcase is simply impossible. Because if this was a showcase, that would be a lot, I think it would skew a lot worse than it just being a state of play. I do wonder, you know, whether there was something bigger planned and this is what they got, or because of the pressure of the communications that they felt they needed to put something together. I don't know.
I think if it was showcase level, they would have needed to like address the rumors of what this PS5 Pro is, if it is coming at the back end of this year, like it is heavily rumored to be. And the other thing of the fact that I think it's been rated in two different countries now, the VR adapter for PC.
Yeah.
Like they would have had to show that off and be like, hey, this is a solid date of when you can use your PSVR 2 on PC.
What intrigues me around that is, with it just being a USB-C cable, is the adapter for the controllers? That's also one of the things I heard speculated this week, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like,
it wouldn't need an adapter for the controllers.
Presuming they're just Bluetooth, right?
They just work with the headset itself. I would imagine it would be like plugging your Quest into the PC.
Yeah, so but then why would you need an adapter if it's just a USB-C headset?
Yeah, I would assume that the adapter may trick the box into thinking that it's an Oculus Quest.
Oh, that makes sense.
Kind of like remap it to work on a.
That makes sense.
That's my guess.
All right, Max, you've titled this shit, here we go again. And I have some issues. Excuse me. One of the biggest stories in 2024 is how Helldivers 2 exploded in popularity to such a degree that Arrowhead decided to postpone a pre-planned PSN login requirement on PC. When the developer eventually attempted to enforce the feature, the internet imploded, leading to such a fierce review bombing campaign that PlayStation was forced to backtrack. While it's extremely common for titles to mandate account logins like this, one legitimate bug many PC players have had is that PSN technically isn't available in a number of countries. This resulted in Helldivers 2 being removed from sale in select supported regions on Steam, pouring more salt on the wounds for fuming fans. Consequently, it's not exactly sitting well, with enthusiasts that both God of War Ragnarok and Until Dawn will appear to require PSN logins as well. Especially seeing as they're both single-player games. Once again, I believe that there's two-prong arguments here. The issue is not that you have to have an account. It's that there are not enough countries in the world to support PSN. That is the issue. Because it makes complete fucking sense. Every other thing I've played on PC, I've had to log into something. There are very few big titles that I've not had to log into some other company's butthole of a login. Like, I wanted to play, I don't know, what was it? Like, Activision or something. Diablo. And I'm like, oh, your Blizzard account from when you played WoW, like, 17 years ago. Do you remember the password? I'm like, fucking no. And they're like, cool. Well, then Diablo 4 is unusable for you if you want to play with anyone.
And then to be fair, I think Diablo is a really bad example because you could only get it, well, up until recently, you could only get it through the Blizzard store. You'd have to log into Blizzard to buy it to begin with.
Yeah. I'm talking about in recent history. Right? That's my only recent example.
I think the better one would be like buying Grand Theft Auto on Steam and having to use Rockstar's bullshit fucking launcher and Rockstar account to log in. Like, sure, I get that. I think my issue with it is it's a single player game. Why do you need a PSN account to play a single player game unless they just want to bolster their numbers of like, we have this many active users? Like, sure, it's useful for analytics, but you're blocking out so many potential potential buyers of this game, and you want to, you know, they've been saying they're trying to use these delayed PC releases to entice them to buy into the ecosystem of PS5, but you're still blocking so many people from being able to do so. If your reasoning behind releasing them on PC is to bring more people into the fold, why not bring more people into the fold by actually making it purchasable to them?
Well, here's the thing. So, I get the sentiment, and this is something that I heard this week, and the beginnings of this week, and I was like, oh, I like that as a concept. I'm going to think about it and ponder on it. And it's the idea that PC is not as powerful as a market decider as people think it is. Consoles are the true video game space. Pardon me, in terms of consumer and business representation, right? So although these console brands are supporting those on PC that wish to play their games, they know console is where it's at. Console reaches more homes, there's a bunch of different factors. I say in terms of casuals, in terms of PC, there are way more PCs in the world than consoles, period. But I'm talking about general users. The average individual is not going to spend $3,000 to get a Ripper PC to buy a couple of games. Instead, they'll spend $500, $800, whatever the version you're buying, whatever time, of a console. They can watch Blu-rays on it. They can stream a bunch of shit through it. And it can be shared amongst the family rather than a PC being a very insular platform, comparatively. So, although it's great that PlayStation are willing to support PC, it is just extra money. It's play money. Like, they know they've sold as much as they can on their console, put it to PC, where either people will buy it, pirate it, mod it, whichever. So, from a PSN requirement, that allows them to check for exploits, sort of bug mapping, because it's all just various analytics once you log in. Heat mapping is the word I wanted, where they can sort of see how people are playing it, and it's a great way to determine how people on PC would play a title compared to those playing on a PS4. Now, because you're logged in and you're playing on your PS4, they're getting that data. Unless you, rudimentary mental understanding of how this would work, by logging in on PC under that account, you then share your data, you then share how you play the game to the development team, to the publisher team, right? So I think that's what there's to gain. Yes, I think cynically, in the same breath, it is a way for them to increase their PS Plus subscriber numbers, but I don't think it's that simple, because PSN, like, if it was PS Plus, I would understand that would be more, I would agree with you, Max, if it was more around PS Plus, but as it is around PSN, there is no financial incentive for PSN, because then they're not going to get any extra money. It's purely data. Does it make it the right thing? No, but I do believe that is the answer. Think I'm on the money?
It's just weird. It's a weird fucking line in the sand to draw.
It is.
All right. Buy less, spend more. So one difference between the PS5 and PS4 is the rise of the live service. A dirty word among the most engaged enthusiasts, this is not a genre but a mere business model. It means titles are designed to evolve and improve over time, as opposed to offering one-and-done experiences. And it's changing consumers' relationships with their games, as demonstrated by a slide provided by PlayStation's business segment meeting earlier this week. To date, players have spent 26% more on PS5 than PS4 launched alignments, totaling $731 million compared to $580 million. This is despite a 12% decline in full game sales. So what's changed? It's all the add-ons that we're buying, otherwise known as microtransactions. Microtransaction spending has increased by 176%. Many people are ultimately buying fewer new games, but spending way more on kinky skins on Fortnite. It should be noted that Sony has also successfully grown PlayStation Plus subscriptions revenue by 57%, and it's making more money from accessories like the PlayStation Portal. But the big change between this generation and the previous one is the sheer amount of money players are pumping into ongoing titles like Fortnite, Genshin Impact, and Call of Duty. It's a seismic shift to the way the console monetization operates, but it helps illustrate why PlayStation has been looking to fill its own line of live service titles.
It's fun, like, just to sort of go back to your comment earlier, being like, better not be free to play full of microtransactions.
That's why I'm concerned.
The big question here, Max, is that we know we're not the average players, but like, I don't buy microtransactions ever. But clearly there are people that do, because that is no substantial, that is no small amount of money. That is a substantial amount of money.
Well, like I said, 176% more. I dabble in the microtransactions depending on how often I play the game versus, you know, like time versus, you know, like I bought a few of the season pass, the battle passes for Call of Duty when I was playing it literally on a daily basis. And most of them these days are very well designed, where you buy one battle pass, and if you finish that battle pass, you earn enough in-game currency to purchase the next season's battle pass, and it incentivizes you to play the game.
And then most people don't do that, so then they then have to spend to the second. Yeah.
Correct, and that's how they get you. I was fortunate enough that while I was playing Call of Duty, I was playing it so much that I was maxing out my battle pass pretty quickly.
Yeah,
and I only bought one, and I got 5 out of it, I think.
Yeah. Where I bought one and got one out of it.
I don't often buy Fortnite skins. I don't play Fortnite very much anymore, but I own a fair few Fortnite skins. The microtransactions that I don't buy into are like card packs in Magic the Gathering, for instance. Skins for Marvel Snap. Phone games, I find their microtransactions are fucking wild, and I tend to not. I don't deem them to be proper games, therefore I do not spend money on them.
Yeah.
Because I have been nurtured into the phone games are not worth anything, and if it costs me money to purchase, it's not worthwhile having on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but like you can. There's a site where you can like it tells you how much money you've spent on your League of Legends account.
Oh no.
And mine's pretty gross.
What are you looking at? And over how long?
Well, I've had my League account for like a year. Where is it? So I try and find it. Okay, it's not coming up, but it's a fair bit. It's just pretty bad.
Yeah, because like I've not probably the most game that I can think I've actively spent like money on would have been like Simpsons. What was that town builder on the mobiles?
I have no idea.
I know it was Simpsons something. Whatever that one. I played a lot of that. And I assure you I bought a bunch of donuts and stuff in that game to like fund my nonsense. But like it's more likely that I'll buy DLC for a game and never play it. That's a big one. Which I guess is in that similar vein. If they lump DLC as microtransactions, then yeah. But like, what I would consider inconsequential garbage, I'm not going to buy. Like, do you want this specific themed hat? I'm like, no. But saying that though, we've discussed it in the past. Every time they can get me a little tempted with Fortnite, and then I remember I never play Fortnite, so I stop. But, excuse me. Playing Fallout 76 recently, I did get this close. Helldivers, this close when I was playing it a lot.
Mm-mm.
So there are, I am on that precipice. And as a ADHD individual, I am the perfect demographic for this.
I think it's the rise of the battle pass.
The battle pass is the answer. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The battle pass is the answer, and it has wrecked so many games, but also made so many games incredibly brilliant. It's a real tough line. But let's get into the quick bits as we make our way home. Number one, Ubisoft Forward is coming June the 11th. It'll be a 5 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Times. I will be watching that later. Not at launch. Max might be.
I will be definitely asleep at 5 a.m.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, especially after what you mentioned at the start of the show with your new sleeping routine. I hope you are asleep. Little Nightmares 3, which I totally forgot was coming, is delayed into 2025. That's a bummer, because I quite enjoyed number one and two. And finally, the latest Dragon Ball Z Sparking Zero trailer shows off Fusion characters. Now, obviously, Fusion characters is what got us Gogeta and Vegeta, the fuck they were, and then Trunks, and what's the Trunks? Gotenks.
Go honk.
Oh, I wish they called him Go Honk. That would have been so much better. Give me Go Honk. are they demonstrating new fusions or just the ones we've seen?
They showed off Gogeta, Vegito, Gotenks, whatever the two new Saiyans from Dragon Ball Super were, Kefla and Cauliflower, whatever the person's other name
Kefla was. Says mute. look. Teflon wouldn't have been too far off, you know, because as you know, a lot of the characters are based, you know, Freezer, Cooler, you know, Esky.
Yeah, all of the Freezer race were, they were all refrigeration things.
Yeah, Vegeta.
All the Saiyans are vegetables.
Yep.
The fucking Ginyu Squad are all a set piece of something as well.
Yeah, the naming's fun. So, like, Teflon is certainly not out of possibility. Just like Tomas and Thomas in The Magician. Are you trying to remember which one you're thinking of?
Yeah, so Freezer's race is all cold temperatures. The Freezer Force are all fruits.
That's the Ginyu Force, yeah?
The Ginyu Force.
Ginyu Force.
The Ginyu Force are all dairy products. So Berta is butter. Guido is yogurt. Jace is cheese.
No.
They're all dairy products. It's hilarious looking at them.
And the androids are all based on numbers.
Yes. So.
Yeah, Android 16, 17, 19, Android 20. But yeah, cool. That doesn't seem like an amazing thing to me because it's been pretty fucking standard to put them in their games. But unless you can make new fusions, if I can make like Piccolonk, like that would be pretty cool. Like Trunks and Piccolo get smooshed together.
So, but like at the end, so they're for the longest time at the end of all.
Can I get Frigida? Give me Frigida.
They've got like their character selector.
Mm-hmm.
And then it fills in all the characters they just showed off, and there's still like 100 fucking unknowns. There's so many more. So many.
Oh, Mute goes, oh, you mean fan service fusion? Play the 3DS. I imagine there's like 1,000 fanfics about DBZ, and then they're making these various combinations and then fucking each other. So this game could assist with that, I hope. But Sparking Zero isn't coming out for a little while, Max. What games are coming to your console this week?
So this week we have, on the 4th of June, we have Democracy 4, because the first three failed. Democracy 4 on PS4 on the 4th of June.
That was well done. That was brilliant.
We have Destiny 2, The Final Shape, coming to PS5, PS4. We have Downward Enhanced, PS5. We have Killer
Queen. Oh, I can't. I've never heard a game that I could not relate to any worse than Downward Enhanced. Downward Disappointment is probably like my title of a game. But Killer Clowns from Outer Space, isn't that a movie? Like a real weird B-grade movie?
Probably. On the 5th of June, we have Ghost Teen Escape from Limbo. Hot. PS5, PS4. We have Rocksmith Plus.
Oh, shit. You and I were talking about this recently, eh?
Yeah, I want to get the adapter. I'm going to buy the adapter for my dad and send it to his house. And
yeah.
Play Rocksmith, because they've announced that it's going to have a demo for upper tier PlayStation Plus users.
Sweet. Because yeah, I'm thinking the same thing.
I want him to check it out.
I've always wanted to learn guitar, and obviously I've got like that lovely, you know, late 50s Maton electric guitar in my cupboard. Or maybe if they gamify it in the same way that Guitar Hero made me, you know, be pretty good at drums. And I don't see myself buying a drum kit or anything anytime soon, as much as I'd love to. This, you know, a $30 cable, and we will hit up Ubisoft to be like, yo, can we fuck with Ubisoft Plus on PS5? And you can watch me get not remotely better in real time.
Well, if that comes to fruition, let me know, because I'll come and steal your guitar and see if I can learn it. And on the 6th of June, we have The Smurfs Village Party, PS5, yeah. PS4. Two Who Spell Carnival, PS5, PS4. Tour de France 24, PS5. And on the 7th of June, we have Pombero, The Lord of the Knights 2023, PS5. Riders Spirits, PS5, PS4. And Slime Rancher 2 on PS5.
Ooh. Not much coming out. Maybe that Destiny, I suppose.
Destiny 2 seems to be the big one this week.
Yeah. But there you go. That does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you, everyone, for joining us once again.
I'm so intrigued to see what the fuck Democracy 4 is.
In my head, it's like a RTS management game.
Democracy 4 lets you take the role of president/prime minister, govern the country, choosing its policies, laws, and other actions, and both transform the country as you see fit, while trying to retain enough popularity to get re-elected. Okay, so It's just
It's politics the game.
Yeah, no, what's that fucking game that I was playing?
MGB says Democracy 4 sounds way better than real life. Yeah, well, at least better than real politics.
What's it called? I wonder if they've all listened to simulation. You keep talking, I'm going to try and find the game that I'm fucking thinking about.
Okay, cool. Well, let's wrap this up. So, Max, you got to do your part. Then while I'm talking, you can do your Google. All right?
Well, everybody, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those you choose. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this position pod. If you're watching us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you're watching on podcast service, be sure to like, subscribe, rate, 5-star review, whatever. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as the merchandise store, of course, the conversation shop, with my shirts, other sort of shit without logos on it. We find it?
Yeah, it's Modern Crusader Kings.
Oh, Crusader Kings. That was fun. It was that, and it was like the old, Pharaoh. That was a fun management game. Good game.
It's Civilization Now.
Oh, I like that one too. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.
And we will try our best to keep you updated on what the hell's happening next weekend.
Oh, yeah. TBA.